It's happening. The attack is on. O'Grady Farm, send help. The leprechaun is attacking. Army, Navy, guns, Marines. We're gonna need some medicine.
Okay, thanks. Hey, Sheriff, just got a call from Ozzy. Says the leprechaun is attacking. What was it last week? It was UFOs? No, it was Bigfoot.
Well, you learn about Ozzy. He's a good boy. A leprechaun. That's a good one.
Arrgh. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Arrgh. I'd be having a southern accent.
Nailed it.
Perfect.
We're doing Leprechaun.
We are.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie since probably when it came out.
I hope you watched it more recently than that.
I saw the pictures on the internet.
Yep.
It was of a leprechaun.
It's Warwick Davis.
I know it's Warwick Davis. I like Warwick Davis. I didn't know it was Warwick Davis because I didn't know who he was when I was a kid when I saw this movie. I've seen Will, but I didn't know it was an actor. I didn't realize that movies had actors and those actors went and did different things. It was a very confusing learning process for me.
So you mentioned Willow before and said you watched the whole movie, didn't realize Val Kilmer was in it until halfway through and then retroactively. So you've also done that with Warwick Davis.
Yes, I've done that with everyone.
Wow.
I'm the face man, though. You know, some people are like the voice man and they can tell who somebody is by hearing their voice.
Yes, I can do that.
Yeah, I can do it by looking at their faces long enough. Eventually it comes to me.
You're good at it when they tell you their name.
Actually, surprisingly, or not, I never remember anybody's name, ever.
So this came out in 1993.
Okay. How old was I?
In 93?
Yeah.
You were 14 years old.
Okay. So where was I living? Okay. I was in Buffalo. Okay. I remember. Yep. I saw this.
I would have met you right around.
I saw this before. 94. I watched this on a VHS cassette tape with a bunch of people I knew in middle school.
Wow.
And it was, all right.
Was it?
Yeah. I like Warwick Davis, so.
Oh, he's by far the best part of it.
What I read, because I looked at stuff on the internet when I was looking at all those pictures, apparently it was written as a straight-up slasher movie, like gory, and Warwick Davis fought to put some kind of humor in, so it became a fight between distributors and director and actor.
It gets even better, though.
Ooh.
Everything that's weird about this movie can be explained away by that production design. It was written. First of all, I've mentioned this to you before off mic, that the movie feels like it's from the 80s, even though it came out almost into the mid-90s. And I found out that the script did start being written in 1985, which explains a lot
of the way it was done. Now, a quick recap, because I don't know if everyone has seen the masterpiece that is Leprechaun.
Yeah.
It's about a farmer and his wife, I assume, because it was a farm, who steal some gold, and the leprechaun shows up.
She seems pretty non-complicit in this gold stealing.
Yeah, that's fair, but you know what? She did marry him.
That's true.
But anyway, the leprechaun shows up and kills them all, but gets trapped in a box with the four-leaf clover, and then Jennifer Aniston and her friends release him, and then he wreaks havoc to reclaim his gold. Which, by the way, he never, even when he gets the gold back, he still kills you.
Well,
that didn't, not a lot of incentive to give that gold back.
You've given the entire plot, and I'd point out, and this is accurate, more than half of it was just the opening scene, because the plot does not develop any further when Jennifer Aniston and her friends pop into the frame.
No, and they weren't her friends.
No, they weren't.
It was her father and her moved there, and there's a painting company consisting of a guy. We'll get there. But she took that over pretty quick, too. They were not her friends.
Well,
they were the help.
So it was written as a straight horror movie. Then Warwick Davis was just naturally funny. So they had to kind of compensate for that and let him do some jokes and change the tone of the movie, even though it doesn't really fit with how static the rest of the movie is. But then after they made it, the studio said, we want more blood. So they had to go back and do reshoots. So the original intention of this movie was very boring. Because the only things that liven it up are Warwick Davis's jokes and the occasional time where somebody gets pogo stick to death.
Yeah, you're right. It's a very weird feel to the movie throughout it. I don't know how to place it.
It is, I think, perfectly described as a movie that was probably written in the mid-80s that didn't get made until 93 or 92. And that was the dead era of horror.
It really was. That's why I have such trouble placing it.
The pre-Scream era is a place stuck. Because there's no second idea coming. I watch that entire movie, and every time I see it, I think, well, what's the twist here? What's the what's the joke? Like, what's the thing that's going to happen? What's the surprise? It can't just be straightforward. We're going to make him eat a four-leaf clover. And then you watch the movie, like, that was the only idea. There was no second thing coming.
There was no, no, there was no plot twist, no curves, nothing.
It's stunning how out of place it feels in 1993. But now, looking back in 2024, I don't know. There's something kind of nice about how simplistic it is.
Yeah, but if it weren't for Warwick Davis, it would. Oh, like, there's nothing.
There. I would love to read that original script. There's nothing there.
He didn't even like that movie after it came out, and he regretted it until it spawned all of the sequels.
He made six of them.
Right. So then he kind of changed his mind a little bit and said, you know what? It's not so bad.
The director was working on two, Leprechaun 2, and then a movie he wanted to do got greenlit, Rumpelstiltskin.
What?
Which is basically the same movie.
Wait.
So he leaves.
Is this a real movie that came out?
Yes.
Because I kind of remember this.
He leaves the Leprechaun franchise.
To do Rumpelstiltskin.
To do Rumpelstiltskin, which had three times the budget of Leprechaun and made, I have notes here, about 1/28th the amount of money, and his career was over. He took a producer credit on two, but left the project and never returned to Leprechaun, and that was a mistake.
Did Rumpelstiltskin come out?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I swear I've seen this movie. All right.
It came out, it cost $3-something million to make, it made about $400,000, and that was the end of it. I remember seeing ads for it.
I don't remember. I watched that movie. I don't know why. That's there. That's a childhood memory that I don't remember because I was a child.
I've never seen that movie, but I remember seeing the ad for it and maybe even like a magazine ad for it.
That's good to know.
Same year, I remember seeing magazine ads all the time, or the back of comic book ads for Army of Darkness.
Ooh.
Also 93.
I saw those on comic book ads. I remember when I was a kid, we had...
As opposed to when I was a kid?
Yeah. Although... You didn't have a dad either, so
dude, rubbing it in.
So when all the other kids, when we're hitting that age, you know, a little bit before I started watching Leprechaun in good old 93, I did not have any Playboys or erotic material to look up, so I had to look through magazines and cut out the underwear ads, and I had to tape them in my little folder to go show off at school, and then my mother found it. She was very sad for me. And I think that's why she bought She bought a couple of Playboys and said it for her marketing class. Like, it was because she was taking classes at the time. And it was something to do with marketing and the advertising. And then she just kind of like made sure I knew about it and where they were.
This is the saddest story I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm just picturing your poor mother. Oh, man. We got to shut this down. This is too much.
This is my therapy, you know? This is what I do instead of paying somebody.
My mother never left any Playboys around. I thought,
man, you were missing out.
I was just going to say, I was like, I feel bad for your mother, but on the other hand, like, man, fuck my mother.
No, thank you. Yeah. Oh, but that was rough. I don't remember if she let me keep my little, one of those little manila folders full of underwear models. That was some good stuff.
So this is the year before Friends.
And Jennifer Aniston's skyrocket to fame.
This is her first real movie role. She was a extra in Mac and Me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mac and Me.
This is her first lead movie role, first movie role really of any kind. She hates it. She doesn't ever talk about it, really, and she buries it whenever she does.
No kidding.
Which, I have a question for you. This movie isn't very good, but is this Jennifer Aniston's best movie?
What else did she do?
Now, she was in Office Space, but she's like the 10th most memorable part of Office Space.
Yeah.
So I'm not counting that as a Jennifer Aniston movie.
Yeah, that's fair. She was more, I feel like that one was filmed before she was super popular, and it kind of
It's like the peak of Friends.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like 98.
It was that late?
Yeah.
I really thought it was earlier.
So Friends is in like year 4 or 5 at that point.
Yeah.
So I know that she's made some decent movies. We're the Millers is a funny movie.
I like that one. That's a Sudeikis.
The first Horrible Bosses is fine.
Yeah, oh yeah, right.
But I think this is arguably her best movie.
Oh. I don't know anything else she's been, been in aside from what you just named.
A lot of bad, you know, rom-coms and things.
No.
And
so, wasn't she in one with Kevin Bacon?
Probably.
Okay. Something about a baby.
She's in one with Vince Vaughn, I think. She's in one with Kevin Costner.
Holy cow, I don't know any of these movies.
The one with Kevin Costner, I think, is that The Graduate was based on her family. So the Kevin Costner character would be the guy that the Dustin Hoffman character was based on. And he's, that means he slept with her grandmother and her mother. And guess what this movie's about?
You see, there's one thing I know about
it. It's a decent plot, though. It's a decent plot. Never seen it.
You like Star Trek and rom-coms. That's what I know about
I've never seen that movie. But I don't think she has, like, this great catalog of starring roles where she can just be dismissive of Leprechaun. I think it ranks fairly high on the list of movies that and she's good in it.
Oh, yeah, she's fine in it.
She's acting against a piece of wood in that main guy.
What about, I like just jumping, how she had a father who was absolutely useless, yes, and caved into every single one of her demands and then just got himself taken out of the picture. Luckily not dead, just away.
The love interest in this movie is named Nathan, and he is a piece of driftwood.
I did all right.
No, she did all right.
You know, to be fair, I was confused by the soundtrack, which was just loud and all over the place, and the painting company just confused me all over the place.
Everything. Well, we'll get to him. We're saving.
Boy, you're saving that one
because it's the most interesting thing in the movie, probably.
Even more than Warwick Davis, which is something.
There's a line in this movie that I love because it has to be written after the fact. Because this guy, Nathan, has no charisma at all.
None of that riz.
And he has no chemistry with Jennifer Aniston, who has chemistry with the leprechaun. She has chemistry with the little boy. She has chemistry with Ozzy, who we'll get to. She has chemistry with her father. She has no chemistry with Nathan. He's like the only person I've ever seen in a movie that has no chemistry with Jennifer Aniston. She's so delightful in the movie.
Yep. That was it. Well, he's a, look who he hangs out with.
There's a line, though, that has to be written after he was cast because it so perfectly uses his acting style. They're at the diner.
Oh, boy.
They're at the diner. And he says to her, "You're looking so skinny. You should probably have, you should have some of this meatloaf." And she goes, "Ooh, no. Do you know what that is?" And he goes, "Yeah, it's meatloaf." And it's such a perfect line because it actually gets a legitimate laugh out of his inability to emote.
You don't think that just came? You think that was an obvious addition?
I think that someone, when they were rewriting the script, reworking the script with comedy, they were like, this guy can't tell a joke. And it's like, what if we write the driest possible line? I think that's what happened. I really genuinely think that's what happened.
All right. But it makes sense because at some point early on, they said they're in North Dakota. I don't know why they're in North Dakota and why they had to move out there, but I understand so much about why they all, this is like, oh, I need people to help me paint the one house every 200 miles. So I got to get, you know, a child into Ozzy.
All right, let's get into Ozzy.
Do we have to?
What is Ozzy?
I don't know.
Is this a case of they wanted in 1985 to write a legitimately mentally handicapped older man, and by 93 they're like, we can't really do that?
I feel like that was more of a staple back then. Do you remember Sloth or Chunk? Which one was it? Sloth? Sloth loved Chunk. I do know that.
Chunk loved Sloth, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right. He's a lawyer now.
Yeah.
Chunk.
As is Chunk is the fat kid.
Yes.
Yes. See, not this Horace. Is why one of the reasons Monster Squad is better than Goonies is that they just called the fat kid, so I know who you're talking about.
All right. We don't have to get confused here. Chunk. But I do feel that it was a common thing to see in the 80s, yes, and it was just accepted. I don't know why. Well, everyone's got that big, dumb friend who's questionable. It's like, oh, no.
I believe this would have been the same year as Hand That Rocks the Cradle, which has an adult mentally challenged person
who
Mornay takes advantage of. I think it's Ernie Hudson.
Oh, wasn't he like the handyman? Yeah, he was. I saw that movie once in the theater.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in years, but I think that's right.
Boy, I hope I didn't go see it with my mom, because that would have been horrible. Probably why I repressed so many of these memories.
Yeah, you did have a breakthrough earlier.
I don't know if it's helpful.
No, I don't think it was. But I'm pretty sure that's right.
Do you want to know a fun fact about leprechauns?
Yeah.
There are no female leprechauns, the internet told me. Because I was looking up, I wanted like trivia about leprechaun, and I got a bunch of trivia about leprechauns. Like there are no girl leprechauns. I also saw that they lay eggs, which I didn't really understand, but I didn't read into it. So they might lay eggs. They like the color green, and they are in fact cobblers. But they didn't used to wear green until, I don't know, pretty recently, they used to wear red.
I've never thought about the fact that I've never seen a female leprechaun, but that's 100% accurate.
That's what I learned.
Wow.
And that's my fun fact about leprechauns.
Now, I really hope that Ernie Hudson's character was mentally challenged in that movie, because I don't remember the movie very well, but I think that's right.
Is it mentally, it's neurodivergent, isn't it?
I don't know what the words you want me to say are. What year is this?
Why do you always...
I can tell you what they were calling him in 1993. Would you like to be appropriate Sloth? For the era? Yeah, they were calling him Sloth.
Hey, Sloth.
Yeah, how you doing? Ernie Hudson pops in and Wreck-It Warning's there and goes, hey, you guys. The Henry Rod Crit was 92.
Okay.
Directed by Curtis Hanson, who directed LA Confidential and then died.
God. You are. Well, it wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't know who died.
He also directed 8 Mile. Well, one of the reasons I had to bring that up was that I don't think anybody in this Leprechaun movie is dead.
A rare swing and a miss for you. What a horrible day.
Couldn't find anyone. And boy, I looked.
Good for them. They've survived. Oh no. Oh, no. You know what this means.
I do know what this means. And we're recording this soon after, one day after the death of Richard Lewis, who I'm pretty sure we brought up on a podcast that Maine Navy isn't even out yet.
Oh, no. This is...
We wield a mighty power that we can't control. A mighty
and terrible power, and I don't like this burden that we have. I need to stop referring to anybody by name, and I'm just going to start calling him. Hey, remember that guy who was the thing?
So no more Nick Cage games. That sounds good.
What?
Well, you can't name him by name.
Nick Cage is immune to all... In fact, I didn't want to say anything, but back on Leap Day,
yeah.
I lost my notebook.
Leap Day, the day we're recording this.
Back on Leap Day, I lost my notebook, I realized, that has all of my Nick Cage stuff. All of it. And I was worried because I didn't think... I had a lot. Like, I mean a lot of Nick Cage stuff. There can't be anything left. I have so much in my notebook. But a Leap Day miracle occurred. Glory be his name. I typed in Nick Cage, and I don't know what I typed, but I found out so many new things about Nick Cage.
Typed in Nick Cage feet.
Ooh, I found so many things. I found knick-knack facts. I found Cage quizzes. I found just good old news. But I'm going to give you the first ever Nick Cage quiz double feature.
Oh, boy.
Are you ready?
You don't want to save this for when we have someone here who cares?
No. Okay. You ready? Cage quiz, hot shot. Mm-hmm. What's Nick Cage's favorite color?
Green.
Blue. Mm-hmm. Bonus knick-knack fact. He almost called himself Nicholas Blue instead of Nicholas Cage when he was looking for a stage name.
I like it. It works.
Nicholas Blue.
Nick Blue the name of a porn star?
Probably. Are you going to look that up now? I got to be careful what I type into my phone. But, so that was that's just the one. I got a lot more. Like, I don't even need to find my notebook again. I've got so much Nick Cage news. So a Leap Day miracle brought to us by Nick Cage.
I don't think I'm right.
Oh, yeah? You're really looking that up?
Oh, it's Mick Blue.
So close.
It was close. He could have had a much different career had he gone with Nick Blue. Both of them.
He would have revolutionized the industry.
All right, let's get back to Ozzy.
Yeah, what a switch.
He has a friend, best friend, named Alex, who's a child.
Which is, you know, normal.
Who's the leader of their pair.
Both of whom are employed by the wooden-faced, mm-hmm. whatever his face was, who likes meatloaf.
His name is Nathan.
Mm.
And Alex is hoarding the gold that he found for an operation for Ozzy's brain.
Right, to fix it.
But Ozzy does not appear to have any actual problem other than he's just
slow brain,
dumb.
It's like my Swiss cheese brain. Yeah. It's a thing that happens.
He's not a... This is the part that makes no sense. There's no emotional part to it because he's not actually impaired. He's just, you know, not a bright guy.
North Dakota.
But they make this a big deal, Pete. This is like the major plot of the movie, is that Ozzy's brain doesn't work right.
But it seemed like just a throwaway, just a little throwaway. Like, oh yeah, it was brought up, but it was a B plot that went nowhere.
Yeah, it did go nowhere. No, he gets to do something smart at the end.
What did he do?
He tells the leprechaun that the gold is in his belly, and he gets him to chase him so that he can...
Oh. I don't know if I would call that smart.
Which brings me to the biggest problem I have with Leprechaun.
Oh, yeah?
He gets, you know, just getting clawed by the leprechaun because he wants the gold out of his belly that's not even in there. And then Alex comes in and he shoots the four-leaf clover at him and they defeat the leprechaun.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ozzy's laying there beaten and he goes, I did something smart, didn't I? And it's like, uh-huh. Yeah, you did, Ozzy. You did something smart. And then they all live. It's not a sacrifice. Everybody lives in this fucking movie. Not everybody. There's a couple people that aren't important that die, but too many people live through this movie. There's no stakes.
Agreed. 100%. It was early on in the movie. I think whoever the first person that was killed, who was not the farmer and his wife, mm-hmm. O'Grady, I think his name was, which I like, O'Grady. But anyway.
Yeah, he walks in with a thick Irish accent like we did to start the show.
Right, just like that. But we were better, clearly.
He walked in and goes, "Our wife, I got some gold."
But whenever he killed the first person who was not part of the core group.
Was it the pogo stick death?
Yeah. It was the pogo stick death at the pawn shop or the jewelry, whatever the hell, the gold store.
You'll bounce back in no time, he told him.
Which was funny.
It was funny.
And I laughed out loud, just like that time in sixth grade when we had to watch whatever that movie is with the guy, the orphan, Oliver, who Fagin teaches him.
Oliver Twist?
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, Oliver Twist. Whenever that hooker gets beaten to death, we had to watch it in music class. When she gets beaten to death, like in the shadows, and then you see the blood come out, I laughed out loud, and then I got sent to the school psychologist. Because she was annoying because she kept singing. So I was happy. Then the second death was the random cop who tried to pull over the leprechaun while he was driving. Yeah. I realized that no one was going to die in the main cast. It was one of the, I thought maybe the father might go, but not even him.
Well, he gets to leave the picture at least.
He did, because he put his hand into a hole where he thought a wild animal was. Which, by the way, that is how the leprechaun seemed to attack. He either had elaborate traps and just murderous intent, or he would trap somebody in a bear trap and then jump on them like some sort of weasel and just start clawing at them.
Pete, you know there are 8 of these movies.
I did not know, but I remember how excited everyone was when Leprechaun in the Hood came out. Yes. Which one was that?
The fifth one? Fourth one's in space? I'm not even sure.
I forgot he went to space.
I think four's in space.
I have no idea what the number of these movies are.
Here's how unmemorable these movies really are. When we were going to watch it for this podcast, and I told you, you know, we had another movie we're going to cover next week, which is, I've already forgotten, Ghostbusters.
Who are you going to call?
Yeah. I told you that, you know, Ghostbusters is on the Vudu that we share. Mm-hmm. And I said, Leprechaun's streaming on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. I bought all the Leprechaun movies. They're on the Vudu. I've forgotten that I'd done that.
Do you know how unmemorable this movie is? I put on The Bride of Chucky because I thought we were watching a little person movie.
We watched Bride of Chucky a month ago.
I got like partway through and I said, hey, I've seen this before.
Oh boy.
But then, you know what I forgot to tell you? I watched Sunshine with Captain America.
And Cillian Murphy.
Yeah. But I didn't watch the ending and I didn't realize that. I'm like, oh, it was an all right movie. I'm like, oh wait, I never saw how it ended. So
it's a really good movie.
Yeah. I'm at the part where the ending is happening and there's a sun monster chasing them.
Yes. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, like I mentioned in this movie, it just takes, I guess it's based on Lucky Charms.
I have the fact for you.
Okay. There you go.
I know things. Do you know why I know these things? Because the internet taught me them. It is that Lucky Charms signed off on all of it. Oh. And they had to go back and post and change like the cereal box to whatever they called it. And the original line when the little kid shoots the clover into his mouth was, you're out of luck or something like that. And they changed it to fuck Lucky Charms because Lucky Charms.
Says, fuck you, Lucky Charms.
Fuck you, Lucky Charms, because Lucky Charms pulled out when they saw the violence. They said, no, we don't want this. So the kid, they changed everything as a stab at Lucky Charms.
It's pretty funny, actually. But the point I'm making is that the movie doesn't have bold ideas. It just is. He's got 100 gold coins. If you take one, he's going to come and kill you until he gets his coin back and then probably kill you anyway.
Yep. But he didn't kill Jennifer Aniston one time.
And a four-leaf clover can defeat him in every way possible.
I think iron, that was another weakness of the leprechauns I saw.
I just don't know what, I guess that the writer-director said that he, you know, a lot of this came from Child's Play. Oh, do another thing, but that is 88. So I really want to see what he was working on in 85.
Okay. That being said, who is the better little monster guy? Is it Leprechaun? Is it Chucky? Or is there another one?
Yeah, it's Megan.
I hate Megan. There's part 2 is coming, isn't it?
Yes. In 2025, I think. Chucky's the best.
I think so. I can't think of, well, Mac and Me, E.T. Those guys are in there. They got to be in the running. E.T. is awful. Mm-hmm. That little turd face.
I agree.
Sits in a bicycle.
You know that you've discussed this before. When I was a kid, you know, E.T. was everywhere.
He was.
In every house I'd go to, if, you know, you're a kid, you get dropped off at somebody's house, like you stay with your grandparents, stay with your aunt, stay with your uncle, stay with your friends.
There's E.T. stickers.
Fucking wanted to watch
pictures.
E.T. Yep. I think my grandparents had one videotape, and it was E.T. They had a VCR specifically for when I came over to make me watch E.T. And I just never liked this movie. It doesn't make sense to me why people like this movie.
I remember seeing Friday the 13th, the series, at my grandma's house. So not quite E.T.
Yeah, I watched E.T. 1,000 times, and I never once thought this is a good movie.
Oh, and I rode the bike with E.T. at Universal Studios. My parents volunteered me, and I had to go do it.
Oh, that's horrible.
And then they, at the end, the host there, or whatever they are, the tour guide, asked what my favorite movie was, and I said E.T., because I thought that's what you're supposed to say. And she said, no, you can tell the truth, but then I was too embarrassed, and I said, no, it's E.T. I really love that movie. It's my favorite.
That's horrible.
Well, you know, they pressured me, man. I caved. I didn't want to go against E.T. He was everywhere.
Still only the second saddest thing I've heard about your childhood today, though.
Oh, I'll just hang around a little bit more. I'm sure I've got more hidden up here.
The thing I have with E.T. is that, like, when I was young and watching it, I was just like, this movie's not that entertaining, and it's kind of boring.
I'm shaking my head and nodding my head at various sentences you're saying.
And I don't think there's a lesson here that I'm really supposed to take from it. So I never understood what the draw was. When I got older, I did at least respect it as a divorce story.
I don't remember the divorce story. But you know who did it better? Monster Squad.
Why is that a children's movie?
Because that was a normal thing back then. Everyone had divorced, even in Goonies. Well, we're hung up on Monster Squad and Goonies. At least I am.
Monster Squad, they were going to counseling.
Yeah. Goonies, it was a divorce, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
I think it was. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't
watched that movie. It's the same mother, I know that.
That's, man.
She's dead now.
But not anyone in this movie.
I'm sure that, like, O'Grady is, and his wife, and maybe even the father, but I didn't look past the top four or five billed people.
Hey, was the kid in this, was he from Poltergeist? He looked like the kid from Poltergeist, but I forgot to look it up.
So I'm going to ask you a question.
All right, I'm going to give you an answer.
We came out 11 years after Poltergeist.
Okay.
So you're asking me if the 10-year-old in the Leprechaun is the kid from Poltergeist. And you weren't doing that as a joke. That was your legitimate question.
Yeah, is there a problem? It's a real question. You don't have an answer for me? Just going to sit there and laugh at me?
I mean, I don't want to make assumptions, so I guess I'll look it up later.
All right, because I think it's the same kid.
Ozzy is the guy from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
He sure is. I remember him.
He's also Chubbs in Teen Wolf. Which is funny because we brought up Teen Wolf before, how his best friend's name is Styles, his love interest is Boof. There's also Chubbs.
There is a Teen Wolf on the basketball court.
They had the best names in the movie. In
that movie. I feel like 80s people, was it just that movie or was it all 80s people? Everyone had nicknames.
I guess so, but nothing's better than Styles and Boof and Chubbs.
Everyone had nicknames. Everyone had that big, dumb friend who, something's wrong with him, that slow brain happening, who likes to eat things.
I just don't know what's wrong with him that, like, wouldn't get fixed by, you know.
It's North Dakota. That's why they said we have to move to North Dakota. How many other women were in that movie other than Jennifer Aniston?
Well, the Leprechaun was not a woman, I learned.
We know that.
And they were spent some time in a hospital, and we know there's no women there.
Nope.
So I don't know that there was another one.
So that's what was wrong with the brain.
Two men.
That's what was wrong with the brain. There's so few. Remember that X-Files episode, Home, where it was the people in the shack and they kept the mother under the bed with no limbs and they kept breeding with her?
No, and I don't appreciate you asking me a question that specific about a show you know I don't know that much about.
I thought you made me watch all the movies.
I may have said, hey, let's go to the movies.
That's no, what you're saying. Like, oh, I saw the new X-Files. I watched a lot of that show, and I remember Bruce Campbell was on it, and he was supposed to have the role of Robert Patrick, but Robert Patrick beat him out for it, so they're mortal enemies now. But Bruce Campbell did get to show up in an episode where he was a demon trying to impregnate a woman.
All I remember about X-Files is that many, many years ago, I watched through it all on Netflix or whatever it was on, just like in the background. But there was one episode where a very young Ryan Reynolds was on because they shot in Canada.
Oh, really?
This is a pre-Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place Ryan Reynolds.
Wow, that is young.
And there was an episode with Bryan Cranston that got him the role many years later in Breaking Bad, because I think the guy that made Breaking Bad wrote that episode and was like, I love this guy, was so good in this role. I think he's perfect for this.
Okay.
So people are always like, how did the guy from Malcolm in the Middle get this job? It's like, because he played a character much more similar to it in X-Files many years before that.
All right.
That's what I know.
That's a fact. I like that fact.
And I know that the cigarette smoking man said that as long as he's alive, the Bills will never win a Super Bowl. And so far, he's been correct because still alive.
God, is there like a death clock happening on a Bills fan site somewhere? Because I wouldn't be surprised.
I'll tell you this. I may have mentioned him on purpose.
Oh, boy. If something happens, this is... Oh, boy. I don't like playing with this power.
I know, but the rules of our powers are weird because I've mentioned Jeffrey Jones every fucking week and he's still walking around.
That is weird.
So it only thing that this can do is hurt decent people and get Joe Hill off for murder. Those are the only things.
It is a mighty and terrible power.
Yes.
Watching this, I have a note. I don't know why. It says, I want to watch Troll, The Burbs, and The Secret of Nim. I guess these are these three movies that I wanted to watch after watching Leprechaun or while, or maybe this is what I'd rather watch than watch Leprechaun.
I didn't dislike Leprechaun.
I don't know how. I feel like it very much, and you nailed it, and it's what I, now I understand my feeling was those early 90s was just a dead zone for horror. There's nothing. So all of it's just kind of, and that's my formative. Yeah. Well, not my formative, but it's when I'm starting to do like sleepovers and stuff.
I think in 93, this movie would have been terrible. I think in 96 through like 99, it would have been impossibly boring. And I think now you look back and it's like, oh, it's kind of nice that there's nothing to this movie. I think it almost could be a good horror movie for kids. They did ramp up the gore a little bit in spots. If it had been the cut before they went back and shot that stuff, I think this would have been fine.
Yeah, because they did add a lot. And there was the one part where the kid who was wearing my brother had that 49ers hat back then. I remember it very well. But he had the gun and he's just talking about blowing his brains out. And I'm like, I don't think that would fly today. See,
there's so many parts of the script that are clearly from 1985.
Right. Because this is 80s movie. You're right. It's straight up 80s. But it still played in the early 90s, I guess.
It has that early 90s look, which means it doesn't have the glossiness to it, which I enjoy. It's still shot on film, which I enjoy. There are aspects of the movie that time has made better.
Yeah, and it has that weird sense of, like, when the wheelchair, there's like a weird sense of fun.
The wheelchair chase is the best scene in the movie.
With the tires squealing and screeching
as he turns corners. And his little face.
And his little hands, like that little hand that came out of the phone. Yeah. it's me little hand. Give me Lucky Charm.
These movies were never that successful. This first one kind of was, but it cost like $1 million. I think it made like $8 million.
But okay.
The rest of them didn't do very well. I think the next one was in theaters, bombed a bit, and then they were like, you're done in theaters. But they kept making them because
it's because
of Warwick Davis.
There was a lot of, is that what it was?
Yeah.
He was a star. He was legitimate. That's another thing I saw was that Jennifer Aniston was really excited because it was with Willow. It's Warwick Davis from Willow.
Did you watch that interview or did you read it?
I saw a headline, I think.
Yeah, I watched it.
What happened?
I don't know that she's saying it earnestly.
That cold-hearted tramp.
I don't think she's trying to bury him, but she says things like, I was excited. It was Warwick Davis. He's a big star. And it's like, I think she's joking in the year 2022 in that interview.
I hope not, because I've never had any kind of beef with Jennifer Aniston, but...
I don't think she's saying it to be mean. I think she's just like, I've become a big star. As I argue, I don't know that she's made a better movie than Leprechaun.
No.
Certainly not one that holds up as well, except for Office Space, which again has nothing to do with her.
No.
If I don't tell you she's in Office Space, it takes you a while to remember that.
That's true. She is a side character at best.
You think about the main three lead guys, you think about his neighbor, you think about his boss, you think about the two guys running the...
Diedrich Bader.
Yeah. You think about, his boss is the best part. You think about the two guys that John McGinley and the other guy that are coming
in. Oh, yeah, the fixers or whatever they are.
You think about the guy with the stapler. You think about...
Oh, yeah.
How many people deep do I have to go before you get to... You know, I remember Osmosis Jones comes in and is selling news. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. Also, he had a love interest that was played by Jennifer Aniston.
Was she the only woman in that movie?
No, because there was the annoying woman who was answering the phone over and over and putting people on hold.
Oh, yeah, right.
And someone's got a case of the Mondays.
Oh, and there was a girlfriend briefly at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's cheating on him.
Right.
Yeah, these are all people I remember instead of Jennifer Aniston.
All right, fair point. This is her best movie.
I think it is her best role. I think it's her best role.
Certainly better than Friends.
She has a good role in Horrible Bosses.
Yeah, that one's all right.
That's probably her second best role, The Leprechaun.
What about Horrible Bosses 2?
Well, really, she's in it.
I like Colin Farrell in those movies.
Yeah, I like Colin Farrell. The first one pretty good. You put people I like. I like Jason Sudeikis. I like Jason Bateman. I like Colin Farrell.
They're all solid.
I think Walter White's in that one too, isn't he?
I don't remember. I haven't seen that movie in a very... It's not like I've seen it a bunch either.
Charlie Day.
Like, you've got people that I like.
Yeah. Like this movie did. You got Chubbs. You got Warwick Davis. You got Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, when the little kid from Poltergeist, when he kept opening the fridge, it happened a couple of times. I kept waiting as I'm sitting there watching it, thinking of The Secret of Nim or Troll. I was sitting there like, man, I wish that leprechaun would jump out and get him. That's a good hiding spot. And then he did later on near the end. He opened the fridge and I'm like, God, that fucking fridge again. And then the leprechaun jumped out and I was like, yay.
I've never seen Secret of Nim. What is it about?
It's about a rat colony that it's been like altered. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I saw it when I was a kid in the theater. They are, science has made them smart, and they escape from a lab, so they're super smart mice in the field.
Oh, so this is the...
It's like a Don Bluth animation.
Yeah, but this is the operation that Alex was saving the money for Ozzy.
Yeah, this was the clinic that they experimented on. Right, but they stayed smart, and there's like...
Spoiler alert for Flowers for Algernon.
A widowed mother. I've never read that.
He doesn't say smart.
I really want to. I know, that's the sad part. But anyway, she has this. They all have smart, and there's children in danger, and I believe there's a seagull friend. It's good stuff, and it was scary, and it's kind of traumatizing for a kid.
Walter White is not in Horrible Bosses. I was thinking of, as I usually am, Kevin Spacey.
Goddamn Kevin Spacey. He didn't win an award.
I mean, he did.
Not for the foreign awards that we have.
No, not nominated. I couldn't beat out Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I don't know what Jim Carrey did, but poor Jim Carrey. I, as bad as this movie was, it wasn't bad.
I don't know that it was.
No.
I mean, it is.
You know what I'll say?
It's bad in a charming way.
As unable to hold my attention and uninteresting as it was,
The
credits were quite possibly some of the most fascinating credits I've ever come across. I mean, there is so much to choose from.
I've decided, because this is your new thing, it's not even just Best Boys anymore.
Well, yeah, because again, just like my Nick Cage updates and my Best Boy update, everyone started taking over my stuff.
Well, I think we're going to name the segment.
Ooh, I like names.
The Credit Check.
Credit Check?
Yep.
Okay. You know I have zero credit score?
I did know that.
I don't exist.
I did know that because you told me once and asked me, who do you think, if you were going to guess who had better credit? Someone who had never had a credit card taken on a loan, or someone who had maxed out all their credit cards? And I said, the person who'd never had credit. She's like, that's what they said, and I disagree.
Right. If you're going to bet on a horse in a race, are you going to bet on the horse that always loses, or bet on the horse that you never seen before?
I'm going to bet on the horse I've never seen before.
Yeah.
No, you disagreed with that philosophy, because you're the one who blew your credit.
Anyway, let me get to my credit check. I love it. Again, no Best Boy. It's just Best Boy Electric and Best Boy Grip, which is disappointing.
Yes.
But the Best Boy Electric was William Beale, and the Best Boy Grip, Mitch Gulben. That's who got that. I'm going to keep a list, too. I'm going to have an award for Best Boys.
Well, I want to give a spoiler for next week real quick. Not a spoiler, a tease. We have maybe the most interesting Best Boy discussion ever to come.
Oh, boy.
In Ghostbusters.
I don't even know. I don't remember what... Okay.
Because I did a little looking...
Okay. All right. Spoiler or no spoiler. Save it for next time because there's more.
I'm excited, but I just want to tell everybody you're going to want to stay tuned for next week's.
This is what I'm talking about. The credit check is where it's at. Everyone got on board with. I hear Nick Cage being brought up by everybody these days. Now everyone's all about the credits. Anyway, what's more, in the special thanks, there's a huge long list of special thanks. George Lucas and Dan Quayle both got special thanks.
I know why George Lucas probably got it.
Why?
I'm sure they used sound effects or something from Star Wars at some point, because a lot of movies post Star Wars have a George Lucas thank you, because he let you use Star Wars sound effects for free, like anybody can use them, even their fan films. So I think you'll see a lot of George Lucas thanks. It's usually due to using some uncopyrighted
He let them use Warwick Davis, because apparently back then he owned Warwick Davis for doing Willow, and he couldn't do anything else. He had to get permission from George Lucas to make another movie.
Oh, no.
And apparently Dan Quayle gets a special
thing. Willow was 7 years before this? Eight years before this?
George Lucas owned that man.
Oh, no.
Poor Warwick.
Oh, man.
That's why he was always an Ewok or a droid or whatever they felt like sticking him in.
Before you finish... Warwick Davis, very funny in that Ricky Gervais show, too.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Life is Short.
Life's too. Yeah, yeah. And I like Warwick Davis every time he pops up.
It did my favorite thing where, because, you know, he's a little person, and you can easily go down a road of making fun of that. and he constantly is falling down and being a clown. But they only ever do it when he's doing something he's not supposed to be doing.
I didn't look that deeply into it.
He's also a fool. So when he deserves to get his comeuppance, that's when he starts, oh, and falls over and bookshelves fall on him. It's only ever when he's doing something he shouldn't be doing. And I always enjoyed that they saved the pratfalls to be like, oh, it's funny, a little it's person earned. Fell. But it's always because he deserved it.
Right.
So he's just said something horrible and slips out of the car and then slips.
An earned laugh is much better.
Yeah, I always thought that was hilarious.
I liked him, too, in the Willow remake that Disney did and then took away.
Never saw it.
You never will now, because they took it away from one of those. And I those tax dodge things.
Yeah.
And I heard that now the Wile E. Coyote movie might be gone again.
It's yeah, it almost came back for a while. Now it's gone forever.
They can bring Morbius back, but not that.
Oh, is Morbius coming back?
Probably. I heard that Madame Web was so terrible that Sony's just like, well, I guess we're done.
Good.
That bad.
Well, the Venom movies make like $1 billion, though, so they're not done.
Well, any kind of like franchise spinoff of Madame Web, which has a bunch of new characters.
You don't think they'll try with Sydney Sweeney?
Maybe in a while.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll just put her somewhere else.
I'm just saying, if they got her under contract, I think there's a chance they'll try.
Okay. Possibly. You know why Dan Quayle was getting the special thanks?
I'm going to guess it was ironic. Don't you think?
It's like rain on my wedding day.
It might be the same time period this movie came out. And go ahead.
It's the good advice I just didn't take. It's a free ride. When I've already paid.
None of this is ironic. A lot of it's bad luck.
Don't you think?
No.
Okay. Anyway, Dan Quayle.
Ironic is the guy that's been afraid to fly his whole life and the plane crashes. That is, I guess that's ironic.
Ooh. Dan Quayle, vice president under George Bush, the first one.
Yes.
Which, I just remembered something. Why?
George Bush, the first one, passed away.
Why? This is a joke from probably around 19. Oh, yeah, of course. And I think his wife did too. Oh, no. Now I'm doing it.
I didn't bring her up.
Why? Why aren't dogs allowed at the White House?
I don't know the answer.
Because they're always chasing the quails and peeing on the bushes.
That's a joke from 1993.
Yes, it was.
Actually, no, in 93 he would have been gone, right?
Yeah, so it was somewhere earlier than that. But anyway, he was given special thanks because he helped free Warwick Davis from England and helped get a visa so he could come work. So it took two people to free Warwick Davis to make this movie.
In the credits, is there a Warwick Davis Wrangler by any chance?
There is not, but you know what they had on this movie? Honey wagon drivers. Do you know what a honey wagon is?
If I had to guess.
Take a guess. Wild swing at it. No wrong answers.
Except it has to do with bees.
Nope. It is the toilet wagon, where they come and suck out the porta potties and drive them around. They had honey wagon drivers. Those fine gentlemen were Roger Greer and Peter Helm. I've never seen a honey wagon driver on a credit in my life. Are they
just letting all the porta potties on these sets fill up?
I don't know, but they had to have a driver and he got a special credit. This is the credit.
They had to have two drivers, if I'm understanding you correctly.
There was too much.
This is a two-man operation.
These credits, again, this credit check was fascinating. So if you really don't like the movie, I recommend giving the credits a go. It is worth your time.
I did like this movie. And it's funny, I don't think I reviewed it that well last year.
For the website?
It would have turned 30, so I would have reviewed it for the 30th anniversary. And I think I gave it like a 2.5. Because again, I thought the same thing. It's like, it's not good, but like, I don't hate it.
No, it's just kind of there.
And Warwick Davis is good enough. Warwick Davis is in a 4-star movie, and he's making a 4-star movie. He's just in a 1-star movie. This is kind of where we end up.
Hey, who wore that little hat better? Him or John Pilgrim, or that Pilgrim guy from Thanksgiving?
Oh, John Carver?
John Carver. Is that what it was? Yeah, I think you're right. That sounds about right.
I don't know. Because we can't get into spoilers on Thanksgiving. But I like who he ended up being a lot.
I'm just talking about the hat. Who
I think we already spoiled this on the podcast.
I believe we did, like the day it came out.
So it's tough for me to ever vote against McDreamy.
I know, but...
Especially when he's doing that perfect Boston accent.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, depending on the scene.
There will be no leftovers.
I'm going with Warwick Davis.
Yeah, I'll go with McDreamy.
All right.
I can never vote against him.
I can't. I just did. Go Warwick Davis.
I do love Warwick Davis in this movie. And so I saw Leprechaun 2 Leprechaun 3.
I'm recently. Sure. Oh, no. Never mind. I'm out of that.
Oh, I saw them very recently. And 2 is much worse than 1.
I kind of remember that.
3 is pretty bad too, but it's more fun.
And Warwick Davis was in both of those.
He's in the first six. Oh,
what else? None of them are in order, is something I saw. I didn't look it up, so I don't know how that works, but chronologically, none of the movies go in order.
Yeah, the second one starts like back in the 1800s or some shit.
Okay, and I think it might have happened beforehand, and like a prequel.
Yeah, probably.
And then it goes into the future, so I don't know. I haven't looked into the franchise that deeply. I did a surprising amount of research for this movie, given my normal levels of research.
The third one takes place in Las Vegas. It's so stupid that it kind of is charming. This one's kind of so boring it's charming. The third one's kind of so stupid it's charming. The second one just isn't charming. Okay. He's great in them all. But then he goes to space, then he goes to the hood, then I believe he goes back to the hood. So Warwick Davis is in Leprechaun, Leprechaun 2, Leprechaun 3, Leprechaun in Space, Leprechaun in the Hood, Leprechaun Back to the Hood. And then he leaves the franchise.
Okay.
And they make, the quality somehow gets worse. But then they also made one, the last one that came out, didn't have Warwick Davis in it. But it is a direct sequel to one with Ozzy back.
Good old Ozzy.
Yeah.
Is the Poltergeist kid still look the same?
He looks exactly the same.
Maybe he's a leap year baby and he only ages every 4 years.
Maybe.
What happens.
Maybe. So that would have been 30 years, almost 30 years later. So the kid that was 10 in Poltergeist was then about 11 and a half in Leprechaun. And then he was about 15.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
If you're doing math. Sure. I'm not. I'm just going to take your word for it.
So the franchise is, I don't know, it's dead again. I think it would behoove Jennifer Aniston to embrace this and come back and make another one.
Well, we say that about everyone who's done those movies. Like, just enjoy it because it's fun. And the fan base is usually going to be on your side and revere you if you do it.
I don't know that Leprechaun has a fan base, so I think that's probably why she doesn't do it. It's not exactly like...
No, it's really not.
It's not exactly like her friend's castmate, Courtney Cox, coming back and doing Scream movies and everyone's excited because Scream's a giant hit. R.I.P. Matthew Perry.
You know that Swiss cheese brain I have where I don't remember things?
Yeah.
It's slow. Each hole is being filled up with people who are dead. It's really getting grim in there.
When they come, try to plug the holes with them.
All right.
What's that from, Pete?
I don't know.
That's from Serenity.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was the movie Serenity. I was just thinking about that the other day. It's a good one.
It is a good one.
All right. Is this all we have to say about Leprechaun, the 1993 classic?
I really don't have anything else on Leprechaun.
I guess this is going to be a short episode. That's Leprechaun for you. Watch those credits. You know what? I do, as my final thought on this, I looked at my notes and I forgot to say it. I have written down, I like his laugh. I like that trike.
Didn't you want to finish a rhyme?
No.
Because he speaks in rhyme sometimes.
I know. I didn't want to. That's why I wrote like that. It's just what came out. Must have been affected.
In Leprechaun 3, someone gets infected with his blood and starts turning into a leprechaun. And they have a leprechaun off. And both of them just sometimes speak in rhyme to each other. It's it's very strange how nobody can just... It's not that hard to write a rhyme.
It's really not.
Can you think of any other St. Patrick's Day horror we could have done?
No. I'm always not knowing any of the horror movies that exist in the first place, so I look at you for that. I
couldn't think of anything. I remember when you brought this up, like, oh, we'll do Leprechaun for St. Patrick's Day, and I said, all right, but like, I'm sure there's something better. And then I thought about it all day. I'm like, I can't think of anything.
I said, well, we'll just, that'll be the backup, and we'll see if we can find something better. And then I didn't find a single thing either. To be fair, I didn't look.
So I would suggest that people do not expect another St. Patrick's Day themed episode next year.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna find one. You know what's a good St. Patrick's Day horror movie? The Boondock Saints.
I've never seen The Boondock
Saints. I haven't seen it since college.
I know it has Daryl from The Walking Dead.
And Billy Connolly.
Sean Patrick Flaherty.
He was the guy from the thing where the guy can see the future and the senator's going to be a bad guy, so he has to kill him.
No, Pete. That is, again, somehow you've gotten this. That is the Dead Zone.
Yes, the Dead Zone.
But you always think that everybody is the...
The nerd from Weird Science?
Yes.
Anthony Michael Head?
That's not who I was... Sean Patrick Flaherty is not Anthony Michael Hall.
Do they both have three names?
Yes.
I rest my case.
This courtroom's out of order.
This whole damn courtroom is out of order.
All right, so we're probably not going to have a episode for...
Ben Grimm? Oh, he'll be there.
Will he be?
Yeah.
Is he Irish?
He's Jewish. I know that.
Ben Grimm is Jewish?
Yeah, him and Moon Knight.
Is that canon?
They send each other Hanukkah cards. Yeah, I just read it.
You read the headline?
No, I read the comic. I'm reading it. It's pretty good.
This comic about Moon Knight and the Thing sending each other Hanukkah cards. Well,
he gets a Hanukkah card, and he's like, the thing. Oh, I think, oh shit, what does Moon Knight say? I don't know. He's like, the Thing needs more friends or something like that. Or Ben needs more friends. Because Moon Knight apparently goes crazy and takes over the world.
He's a grumpy guy.
I think he's kind of likable. What street is he from? There's some Yancey Street.
Yeah, it is. It is Yancey Street.
Yep, Yancey Street's favorite.
That brain of yours remembers Yancey Street.
It does.
All right. We're going to cut this off for another day. Next week, we have Ghostbusters, because Ghostbusters Frozen Empire will be out in theaters.
Ooh, I hope I watched it.
You haven't even seen Afterlife.
No, I meant their first Ghostbusters.
Well, we'll talk about Ghostbusters next week, but everybody stay tuned, because we got Best Boy controversy.
Oh, no. I don't know what it is. I looked at the Best Boy.
It is the most exciting
drama.
I think I watched Leprechaun, and then I went into research mode for Ghostbusters. And this is one of the first things I found. So coming off of the, again, I didn't dislike it, the nothing's really happening Leprechaun movie.
Except for those credits.
The most exciting thing I've seen in a while.
All right. I can't wait.
That's the tease. So go to scarevalue.com.
Or not.
Or not. Listen to this podcast.
Or not, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, this one's shorter, so.
And remember.
If you got to pick.
If you are a single mother, make sure to stock up Playboys for your son. We'll see you next week.